Hey up everybody, my name's Joshua Morrison, Director of Johnny Mozzle's Lessons in Confidence. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about getting started with your creative journey. So I'm fairly far into my creative journey at this point. I've made like various films and albums and stuff like that, so I've done a fair bit and I understand what works for me, what doesn't work for me, what I can do to improve myself, what I should do more of and less of and that kind of thing. But I feel like maybe if you're watching this, you might not be that far into your journey. Maybe you've only made a couple sort of almost demo projects to try and figure out yourself and that kind of thing. And you might be wondering how you can progress yourself and get better at whatever the thing is that you're doing, be it making an album or making a film or making some YouTube videos or whatever. And I think the core simple thing, one sentence, is just make more stuff. Three words, make more stuff, right? The more stuff you make, the more bad stuff you make, right? In some of that bad stuff will be little nuggets of gold, right? And that's totally fine. You're going to make some crap, but it's fine because there will be little nuggets in there, right? I look back at some of my old 2017 videos the other day, right? When I was just getting started on my creative journey and figuring out who I was and what do I want to make and that kind of thing. And there's a couple videos in there that I found myself laughing at and like actually enjoying. And there were some that I just looked at like that. Fuck me, I made that. And I was just really embarrassed by it. And those are both feelings, right? But the fact that I made something that I could still remain semi-proud of, even in just a sort of understanding where I was at the time sort of way, is important because I would never be where I am now, making this sort of stuff, which people apparently resonate with, if I hadn't made all that stuff back then, which nobody resonated with because it was a load of shite, right? You need to make a load of shite in order to be able to make some good stuff. Look at Stanley Kubrick, look at the start of his career. He made that World War I film that no one talks about because it's a load of crap, right? It's not the worst film ever, but it's whatever. You know, it's certainly no Clockwork Orange or 2001 or anything like that. Steven Spielberg, he started off by making a film for his high school sort of thing. It was this 2.5-hour mess of a student film that has been more or less lost to time. All your favourite directors started out making a load of garbage. I mean, Christopher Nolan, he started off with Doodlebug, which is like this 3-minute little thing. It's all right. It's hardly Inception, you know what I mean? And everyone that you respect starts off from some point where they're just not making very good stuff. Like, all my favourite bands, you look at some of their earliest demos and they're just really bad. I mean, one of my favourite bands is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, right? And I went back and I listened to Willoughby's Beach, or whatever it's called, the first EP that they did. And I just thought, I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. It was a very simplistic sort of surf rock, garage rock kind of thing with a lot of distorted noise. And it's all recorded from iPhones. And it's, you know, I liked it for its sort of ramshackle kind of quality. But like, there's bits where like they're out of time. There's bits where the fills are awkward. There's bits where like the guitar tone is grim and not nasty and like, that was nasty. Like in a, that was nasty sort of way. You know, and if they hadn't made Willoughby's Beach, right, if they had been too scared to make it because they got themselves down on their lack of talent at the time, they never would have gone on to make some of my favourite albums like Polygon Wonderland or Petrodragonic Apocalypse or fucking all the other stuff that they've done, like Flying Microtonal Banana and like Murder of the Universe. And like, they made so many albums that are like good albums, and they made that because they didn't worry about making a load of crap when they started. And you're going to make some crap. Right, and I think the best thing to do is just to put the gatefold sleeve over it, right, and just release it, right, and not worry so much, right, because now we live in a world of the internet where you can release whatever you want, so you're not stuck in this constant stasis of just having this thing that no one can see because it just sits on your desk on a tape or a VHS or whatever. Like now you can release it and get other people to see it and call it like, this has been released. I don't have to worry about this project anymore because it is done. And here's the proof it's done. You can watch it or you can listen to it. It's right here. Here's the link, right? And now I can move on to the next thing. And that's, you know, good. You need to just make stuff now. Remember, make stuff now. And the more stuff you make, the better you will get at it. And the more stuff you make, the more confident you will feel with the things that you are making, because you've found yourself getting almost into a routine of making it. And the more you can do that, the better that you can get, the more chance you have of getting somewhere with it. Maybe, you know, What might your dream be with regards to your creative works? Let's forget about the whole becoming famous or that sort of stuff. You don't want that. You just want to make something that resonates with some people. How are you going to achieve that? Well, you need to first make something that resonates with people. And how are you going to do that? Well, first you need to make some stuff and see what works. Throw some stuff at the wall, see what works, see what doesn't, see what's sticking, see what's just dropping. Because, you know, there's that saying, throwing a load of shit at the wall, and people say it in a quite a disparaging way, like, oh, this guy's just throwing a lot of shit on the wall and seeing what sticks. It's like, well, yeah, if you're not doing that for one, like, if one project is just trying to throw a load of shit at the wall and seeing what sticks, like, one film is doing that, that's not a good thing. But if your overall career in your creative journey is that where you're throwing a load of shit at the wall and seeing what sticks, and they're all different bits of shit that are sticking at different points of the wall, that's okay, because each thing is its own little bit, and if it stuck to the wall and it's made its own little like mold of dried shit on this wall, right, that means it stayed there, right? And you wouldn't have got it to stay there if you hadn't thrown all those bits of shit at it that just dropped to the floor. So, you know, you're going to make a load of garbage, right? And that is just not up for debate. You are going to do that no matter how hard you try. Do you know how hard I worked on those old videos, right? I was super perfectionist with them, and I would try and like make sure the transitions were perfect and like the pacing was perfect, and in doing that I lost the forest for the trees, and as a result I was unable to actually make anything of real artistic worth, because like I just didn't understand myself, and each time I do something I would understand myself a little bit more, and the chances of making something okay were slightly increased. Now, that's just not a linear curve, by the way. You need to actively care about the thing you're making. Like, if you start to just factorize what you're doing, then you're going to dip in quality, even though you've got more experience. The same reason that, like, you know, AC/DC's 20th album, no one cares about it, right? Even though they have improved on their craft and they've worked on their craft for now 40 years. So it's not like they don't know what they're doing, right? But people prefer the older albums because they weren't factorizing it at that point, and it wasn't just this routine system that they were doing, right? You want what you're making to feel fresh, and like you, like, and you want the audience to feel like you give a shit about what you're making, right? You don't want to just throw a load of shit out there that is just like someone else's shit that you've just grabbed and just thrown. You need it to be your shit, right? So yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just you want to make sure that you're trying stuff, vary it up, you know, variety is the spice of life. Make sure that you're trying new things, and the more new things you'll try, the more chances you'll find something that you enjoy doing that gives you some kind of, you know, artistic expression that you feel like is true to you. And if you can find that, then you've made it as far as your creative journey is considered. You've maybe not made it to the full destination where you originally set out to go, but you found a nice rest stop and like a premier inn for the night that you can stay in. And you can at least sleep there until you're ready to continue the journey. So that's going to be it from me. Leave your comments in the thing below about whether you, you know, agree with the idea of quantity over quality, just throwing a load of shit at the wall and seeing what sticks, or if you, you know, fundamentally disagree with this entire video, because I'm sure some of you watching this will, and that's totally fine, because, you know, not everyone is the same, not everyone works the same way that I do, but I'm sure some people do work like I do, and this video is for those people. So, yeah. Thank you very much, everybody, for watching this video, right? There's proof, right, of the throwing shit at the wall. I had to say it 3 times, so 2 bits of shit didn't stick to the wall, and 1 bit did, right? And then it came up with, like, a little extra bit of shit from what I'm saying now. And let's get away from this metaphor for a second and just say, thank you very much, everybody. Goodbye. Take care. Love you all. Ooh. The back of my jacket is going to be absolutely fucking filthy. Or maybe it'll flatten. It's not too bad, actually. This is quite muddy. This is a bike track. I'm at a skate park. But it's the middle of winter, so no one's coming here. It's also a dead-end fucking place. No one. There's nothing around here. Ooh. Hey everybody, my name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Moz's Lessons in Confidence. Today, let's talk a little bit about how I make these kind of videos, right? Because I've had that question sort of asked me a few times. How do you think of stuff to say? How do you keep going, right? And I'm starting to run out of ideas at the moment. My inspirational well is a little bit dry. So I thought, what better time to actually talk about how I actually do these things rather than just doing the thing itself? So I film these videos on a Canon C100. It's like a cinema camera, but I got it quite cheap, and you can get them even cheaper than what I got them for now. And basically what I do is I just walk around. I like to go to a friend's house, right? If I'm going to see a friend or stuff like that, I like to leave like 3 hours earlier than I need to, and I'll get there, right? I'm going to see a mate right now, and I filmed one video already, right? And now I'm filming the second video. And I might do a third one after this, I might not, it depends on how I feel. And I basically just think, I don't think about, like, I don't plan them out, I don't come up with topics. I do come up with topics, right? But I don't, like, list notes. There's no notes on my phone that try and sort this out. The only thing that's on my phone at the moment is the audio recorder app. And basically what this is, it's just the bog standard, it's called Easy Voice Recorder, right? It's free on the Play Store fucking thing, right? And you can get the pro version. I'm not getting the pro version because I don't really give a shit. And I just kind of record onto this, right? And then once I get back home, what I do is there's this listen page, and I highlight all the ones that I recorded from that day, and I upload them to Google Drive, and then I download them from Google Drive onto my desktop, and then I sync the audio and the video together. I come up with a color grade, I put the 4:3 bars on it, and then I export it, and that's really it. It's not a complicated process, and I feel like I try and lean into the improvised sort of thing, where what I'm trying to do is I'm trying almost recording me grappling with a topic rather than me grappling with the topic off camera and then coming on camera and just preaching to you about the things that I've learned. I feel like it's more interesting the metaphor that I like, right, is say we're all trying to climb a wall, right? And there's a couple of people that have climbed the wall, and they're sort of going like, oh, if you put your foot on that brick there, and then you can kind of reach over to that bit, and then you get onto that bit there, and it's like, okay, I'm just following what that person is telling me to do. Rather, I like to, instead of listening to what that guy has to say, I like to see someone struggling to climb up the wall, because it sort of tells me what I don't need to do and what they did that worked and what they did that didn't work, that kind of thing. I'd rather see the person try and grapple with the subject and try and figure out the idea than someone who's already got the idea figured out and then just tells you, like some higher deity coming down to speak to the followers, you know what I mean? So yeah, I just try and put my thoughts into some kind of let's call it what are those things called, the where it starts, spider graph, that's it. So you have your core idea. Let's say the video I recorded last was about routine. So routine and setting a routine and how routine isn't the be all and end all, right? That was the idea of the video. And so when I sat down, I recorded one bit where I talked about 4 minutes, and then I kind of worried that I wasn't actually in the frame, because I can't really see the camera. All I can see is a red light, and that just tells me that it's still recording. And if I didn't have the red light, I don't know what I'd do. Because then I would constantly be like filming a video and then coming back and then saying, oh, fuck, it wasn't even recording the whole time. That's happened a couple times already, but just because I didn't bother to look at the red light. So now I make sure to always look at the red light when I'm, instead of looking into the lens, right, I'm looking at the lens now, I like to look a little bit up and just look at the little red light, which maybe that, from the viewer's perspective, means I'm not staring straight at you. I like to, you know, be in a space and feel like, you know, you can feel like this is a real establishment, like, and I like to interact with the environment that's around me, like, you know, there you are, proof that this is all real, it's not a fucking green screen. You know, and you're doing stuff like this just to try and show that you're in a place, in a space, because your surroundings are quite interesting. They're more interesting than you think. Like, I pass this thing like 2 or 3 times a week going to see my mate. And, you know, for the longest time, I didn't really give a shit about it. It was just a bridge. But it's a fucking beautiful looking bridge, isn't it? It's actually quite nice. And when you actually get it on film, I like to find different angles for it. I've featured this bridge in a few videos now. And it's not one of my favorite locations ever, but I really like it. I like how in the background, I don't know if you can see it, but like there's water dripping down over there, quite a lot of it actually. That water's probably freezing cold. And I try and make it feel like, I don't try and make it feel, I just record the videos. But I think what's interesting about it and why I feel like more people should try and do this kind of video, because a mate of mine that I met on the internet called Tantris Humble, he's started making these kind of videos where he lives in like Japan. So he goes around Japan and he does them out in Japan. And like, because I've never been to Japan, so it's almost like another planet to me as far as I'm concerned. But then when I see his videos, it's weird because like I see the little locations that he uses and it's like, fuck, it's basically exactly like here in London. You know what I mean? So it's the same kind of thing, and we're all a lot more similar than we actually might think. And I'd like to see more people doing these kind of things where, you know, they don't come up with all the ideas and then preach them down onto the world. Instead, they just try and figure out things and, make something interesting out of that. And it's also good to do them outside, out and about, because I like to get out of the house, and like I'm out of the house quite a lot anyway. So, you know, I just like to take the camera out with me, and that's all it is. And then I go see a mate. Maybe I edit the videos at the mate's house. Maybe I don't. Maybe, like, depending on the mate, you know. Depending on how comfortable I am around them and all that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to think what else is kind of useful to you. It's just a case of going around, coming up with a couple ideas, and then just exploring those ideas. But don't plan the ideas out too much. I don't really consider them all that much. And I know if I say something that I can't, like, publish, I know if I reveal a bit of personal information or whatever whilst I'm recording it. And if I feel like I'm touching on something that may be a bit controversial and I'm a bit worried about what I might have said, I know what video it is where I might have felt a bit worried about. Usually if it's a politically kind of motivated, not politically motivated, but like a political kind of video, I'll watch those ones back to make sure that I don't say anything that was really dumb or just like, wrong or factually untrue or whatever and that kind of thing, and if I do then I don't publish it. But yeah, it's kind of just a stream of consciousness really, and that's kind of all it is. And yeah, that's basically the video, so bye. That ended on a really like anticlimactic note, didn't it? Yeah, there's not much else to add about it, really. It's just go around, find some stuff, talk about it. There's no magic formula to this. Like, yeah, what you see is what you get. It's basically exactly as you imagine. I'll show you, just to wrap it up, I will show you what the camera is sat on. Hang on a sec, I need to up the things. So the camera was sat on that. The card was so that the thing was tilted a bit more, because if I had it like that, right, that's a bit too much ground. But if I put it on that, let me try and do it. You see, I can kind of like manipulate it slightly. And the lens cap does the same kind of thing. So yeah, that's kind of it really. I do have a tripod, but the bottom of the base plate of this thing kind of broke. So yeah, I don't really use the base plate anymore. Now I just kind of, for the last 2 months, I've just been propping it on random bullshit and just doing it that way. So yeah, that's everything really. So yeah, hope you enjoyed the video and all that. You probably didn't, but yeah, have a good one, everybody. Take care. Love you all. Bye-bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about negativity and positivity and how you kind of need a bit of a balance in your mindset in order to be able to be the best version of yourself that you can be. Because you want to be a positive person overall. You want to generally look at the world and see as nice a thing as you can, but you also don't want to delude yourself and see, you know, positive stuff that isn't there, you know, and ignore negative stuff that is there. Right. I did a video already about the idea of overwhelming negativity of, like, you know, YouTubers and influencers and stuff that only talk about positive stuff and they'll never ever talk about negative stuff, because basically negative stuff doesn't happen. So why should they bother about it? They're positive influencers, not negative influencers. And I'm not super keen on that, because I feel like if you're super like positive all the time and you just constantly like that, then you're only going to end up making yourself unhappy in the long run, because you know, positivity is an active thing, whereas negativity, I feel like we're constantly slipping towards negativity, right? And positivity is an active effort that you need to put in to be positive. You can't just, you can't be positive by default. If you were to do nothing, right? If you just did absolutely nothing, right? All day, right? What would happen? Well, first, you would lose your job because you're not going into work. That's a negative thing. And that would have consequences that, you know, now you can't pay your rent and your bills, and then you would end up getting evicted. That's also a negative thing. So now you're homeless and jobless, right? And those are both negative things, right? And this is all through inaction. So inaction leads to negative consequences. And action can lead to positive consequences. And obviously, you know, not every action will lead to a positive thing. And sometimes you shouldn't take an action because it will lead you to a negative thing. Yeah, that's perfectly normal, right? But generally, taking action takes you towards a positive thing. And use your common sense to make sense of that, you know. Because sometimes, you know, if, you know, say if you've got a mate and you really want to get rid of this mate because they're just a nasty piece of work, but you're still sort of friendly with them, you know, just being positive about it isn't really going to do anything. At a certain point, you just need to tell this guy, just like, fuck off, you know. And that's a negative thing that you have to do. But it will bring positive consequences in the long run, right? And so action leads to positivity. And I feel like it's very easy to delude yourself into an overly positive mindset. Just seeing like the colours in the rainbow that aren't there when, you know, we're living in a world of grey and stuff like that. And it's like, look, instead of just trying to make up your own fucking colours, why don't you just accept the fact that the world is grey and take an appreciation in the fact it's grey? I think this all looks quite nice over here. I like the grey skies. I like all this sort of stuff. I like when it rains. I like all that. And, you know, they're kind of negative things, but I get a bit of a positive little thing out of them. I like being in the rain. I like getting back in after it's been raining and, you know, having a nice bowl of soup and looking out the window at the rain on the window, like the little droplets and stuff. That's all quite nice. And, you know, there's silver linings in everything. You know, absolutely everything, there is some kind of silver lining. Even if, you know, the silver lining is something that you've kind of had to force, it's still there. And as long as you're not only relying on those silver linings, then you'll be all right. Because there's a whole cloud as well that you need to deal with. But the silver lining is there. And as long as you can see the silver lining and you can deal with the cloud, you'll be all right. If you can see the silver lining but you can't deal with the cloud, then you're kind of fucked. And if you can only deal with the cloud but not see the silver lining, that's just a recipe for misery. So what I would say is just kind of be as present with your understanding of the world as you can be. Be as objective with it as you can be. Try and see the positive, try and see the negative. It's very easy with the internet and all the algorithms and stuff that push negativity onto people to get really down on yourself because it seems like the world is so fucked. You know, like there's so many problems going on in the world and it doesn't seem like any of them are getting solved. And it's very easy to get yourself down about that. But you know, you've got your own little world around you that has loads of little positive things inside of it, that if you're only seeing that negative broader picture stuff, you're not going to see all of this nice little stuff knocking around. Like, there's a reason that newspapers don't put, like, cat gets saved from tree as, like, the main headline of a thing. Or they'll put, like, bus broke down rather than showing all the, you know, the buses that safely made it to their destination. And obviously it's because those stories aren't nearly as interesting. And they're not going to get as much engagement and stuff like that. Oh, breaking news, bus moves as according to schedule. Brilliant. What am I supposed to get out of that? And it's kind of, I don't know, I feel like we get pushed a lot of negative stuff onto us. And as a result, it can be very easy to overcompensate with the positivity. Because it sort of seems like if you engage with negativity that you're capitulating to all the horrors of the world and allowing, you know, the misery of these internet algorithms to take you by the throat and control your mood and that kind of thing. But I don't know, there is negative stuff going on in the world, you know? There's people starving out there. There's all sorts of horrible shit going on. And in your own life as well, there's all sorts of horrible stuff going on. You know, getting stuck in a traffic jam isn't a nice thing. You're not going to get in a traffic jam and go, oh, well, it's actually a good thing that I can be in this traffic jam. Or actually, maybe, you know, being in the traffic jam means that you get to finish your podcast before you get to the destination. right? Because that extra 3 minutes, right? Maybe you would have got to your destination with 3 minutes left on the podcast, and you'd have been sat in the car finishing the podcast anyway, you know? Not counting, obviously, the last, like, 5 minutes where they just say goodbye for ages, and they just take ages to say goodbye, right? I know I do that as well. I'll say goodbye, like, halfway through a video and then just keep rambling, but, you know, it's just a sort of thing where if you're trying to make it for yourself, like, and try and make some kind of positive influence on the world around you, you need to be aware of the negative stuff. And I think, like, overly positive people, I don't dislike them for their over-positivity. I think it's a good thing that they're able to feel like that and that they're able to be so overwhelmingly happy and positive all the time. But at the same time, I don't think that you should feel like you should need to force yourself to be like that, because that's not the truest state for every single human being. Like, not everyone needs to be like that. Some people like to have a bit of negativity in their life, you know, like harmless negativity, you know, like where you watch the Jeremy Kyle show or whatever, and you laugh at the fucking people that come on, you know, and you just have a bit of a piss take about that. And it's like, that's certainly a negative thing that you're doing and engaging with, but it's a little bit of fun. You can have a bit of, like, you know, banter with your mate and, like, oh God, have you seen that one? You can have little in-jokes for one another. And so you can turn a negative thing into a positive thing through your experience shared with another person or even on your own, you know. It's just a case of trying to make the best out of a bad situation, really, because, you know, the world isn't all that well put together, and we're kind of just thrown into it in a way where we need to figure out our own worldview and our own way of life. And I think a lot of people seek guidance on that. And when I was like 15, 16, I needed to seek guidance because I didn't have any of the answers. I didn't know what was going on, and I still don't. So I still do seek guidance. And, you know, I first started off with a lot of these, like, motivational YouTubers, like, you know, the ones that nowadays it's all like the whole wake up at 3 a.m. and get to the gym for 4 a.m. and then get back and start grinding at like 5 a.m. But back then we didn't have all those buzzwords for it. And, you know, they would just have all this quite professional looking footage, and they would, like, shout encouragement at you through a really compressed microphone. And, you know, I started to wonder during that time that I was watching those videos, wow, they're really, like, nothing bad ever seems to happen to these people. And it's like, how do they manage to make it so that nothing bad happens to them? It's like, obviously bad stuff happens to these positive people, you know, but how do they handle that negativity? How do they handle that? Do they kind of go through and reject the negative impulses in the brain and just not allow them to manifest? How do they do that? Is that a skill that you can learn? Is that innate? And is it even desirable? Does it mean that you're maybe less able to deal with negative stuff than people who like to bask in the negativity? I don't know. I don't have any of the answers. And I think, you know, a lot of people will try and act like they do have all the answers and try and, like, push an agenda onto you. And I just kind of want to say, like, so you got positive stuff in your life, right? And then you've got negative stuff in your life, right? And that's always going to be the case. No matter who you are, what's going on, there'll always be a bit of positive and a bit of negative. There'll always be a bit of good with the bad and a bit of bad with the good, right? And you want to cherish the good stuff whilst dealing with the bad stuff. And you're generally trying to reduce the bad stuff and increase the good stuff. And you'll never get to a point where there's only good stuff and no bad stuff. That's never going to happen. And that's part of the human experience. If we had no negative impulses in the brain, nothing bad ever happened to us, we wouldn't just be the happiest we've ever been just because everything is happy all the time. It's just like, because if everything was just brilliant all the time, then it's just kind of whatever, because there's nothing to compare it to. You know, like, say you're having the best time of your life, right? And it's just an insanely great time. Like, it's one magical night, let's say. Say if every night was like that and it was that magical, would that be good? I'm sure it'd be nice the first couple times, but you get sick of it pretty quickly, I think. And yeah, I know it's a little bit of a rambly one, this one. It doesn't make vast amounts of sense, but the general core of the message is just, you should try and balance yourself, because if you're too overly positive, I feel like you can shut out negativity when you need to take it in order to be able to deal with negative stuff when it comes. And if you only look at positivity, then you're going to miss all the bad stuff. And the positive stuff will just become less positive with time. And eventually you'll just be in this, experience limbo where nothing is particularly good or bad, maybe. I don't really know. I just sort of think that I've seen a lot of this positive influencer sort of stuff as of late, and I just wanted to just say my little two cents about it, really. Just, it's nice to be positive. I think that positivity is a good thing, obviously, but I'd like to see a lot of, like, some of these positivity influencers take some time to address more negative things as well through their positive outlook, because they do have a good outlook. They have a good way of seeing the world where they can extract positivity from negativity. It's just a case of being able to digest that negativity as well and, make the most out of the positivity. Because, I think we can all agree that positivity is nice and negativity isn't. I don't think anyone out there likes negativity. They don't like bad stuff happening to them. That's basically the video. This is a very sleepy one, pretty much. I hope you've managed to take something away from this. Try and balance your worldview, essentially, is what I'm saying. So, yeah, leave your comments below about if you agree with that. Are you a super positive person? If so, how do you manage to make that work? How do you deal with negative stuff? Do you think I'm just talking a load of shite? If you do, please let me know. Tell me why. And I'll maybe address that in another video. And if you're someone who's maybe a bit like what they call doomers, right? If you're a doomer, then leave your comments below about why you think the world is fucked and why you can't see any positive stuff out there. Because something positive must have happened to you in the recent memory, right? Something good must have happened. So how do you handle that? How do you fixate on that to try and make yourself feel better? Or do you shut it out because, it's not as important as the negative stuff? I don't know. I feel like I try and edge more towards having a positive outlook on stuff. I try and see it like if I miss a bus, then at least I can have a cigarette. If I have to stay a little bit later at work, I think, I can at least get an hour's overtime on this. That can get me basically, it basically covers my travel to and from here. So that's all right. If it's cold, I might think, I'll be warm when I get in. That's basically it. That's basically the video. So thank you very much for watching. Hope you have a good rest of the day. And take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about anxieties in the brain and so on, because I think we've all had that sort of thing where, anxiety is the basic idea of just overly worrying about stuff that doesn't really matter. Pretty much that's what anxiety is. And there's anxiety disorder, and that's a whole other realm of conversation. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just the general idea of an anxiety, because you don't need to have anxiety disorder to have some odd bit of anxiety every now and then, right? So I'll give you a good example. Often I'll be worried about what someone might think of me, for instance, right? And I'll sort of think, oh God, they probably think I'm really boring, or they think that, I'm just, let's stick with that. I think I'm really boring, for instance, right? So I'm talking to this person, I'm saying the stuff that I'm saying, and I'm sat there worrying, they think that I'm really boring, right? Now, if they were to say, God, Josh, you're really boring, that would suddenly mean that I would just no longer care what that person thought of me, right? It would confirm my anxiety for sure. And in that, confirmation would come the rejection of what that person said from the, because I, try and love myself and all that sort of stuff, because that's what you're meant to do. You're meant to love yourself and all that. So if someone does say to me, oh, you're really boring, and I'm really worried that they're thinking that I am boring and they've just confirmed it, I don't really care what that person has to say about me after that point. And after that point, I can just carry on being boring. And that's kind of fine. I'll just carry on being boring. If they want to be bored, let them be bored. If they want to just go off and, have a conversation with someone who they think is interesting, then go on. Are they so fucking interesting? And what have they got to say? They were kind of boring me with all their conversations about football, and I'm not really into football. And they keep going on and on and on about it, right? And I'm sat there trying to listen, be an active listener and all that. And then I turn around and I start talking about the stuff I'm talking about, and then they go, oh, yeah, you're kind of boring. And that's happened the odd time. I'm not saying with that, that's a very basic example, right? And that kind of thing can happen throughout your life where someone will say something negative to you and that will kind of make you just no longer care what that person thinks. And I reckon that's a good thing to have because, yeah, it's important to not necessarily overly worry about what people think of you, but to at least be aware that, you know, you might be causing discomfort or something like that to other people that are around you. You want the people around you to feel as good as possible because you're a good person. You want others to feel good and you want to bring goodness onto others, right? And if they kind of turn around and go, oh yeah, you're actually a load of shite, then why should I have to worry about what that person says about me any further, right? That sort of stuff never sticks with me. The stuff when I'm like laying in bed, you know, when you lay in bed and like stay up like really late, like, and you replay awkward memories from your past. Never in those memories is someone sort of actively confirming your anxiety. It's always the uncertainty and the questioning of whether that person was maybe thinking that, that causes the little anxieties in the brain, that causes you to stay up late at night and wonder what that person actually thought about you. But if they actually come out and just say, you're really boring, then suddenly I'm not worrying about what they think anymore. Like, there's been loads of times when I have been actively boring, right? And I've thought that I was boring, that I've then sat and worried about that and tried to use that as a way of improving myself to become less boring. What was I doing that was boring? Was I going too long about a niche topic? Was I maybe not explaining the parts of the topic in a way that they can understand? Was I just assuming that they knew all this knowledge and they're nodding along like, yep, yep, oh, right. Right. And so going forward, I try and recognize when people are doing that, when they're doing the whole sort of pleasantry nod, like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Now I can see that. And when I see that happen, I know to kind of shift course a little bit. And the anxiety is still sort of there. It's the thing that's making me go, oh, that person is getting a little bit bored. Let me switch it up a little bit so that they and bring them more into the conversation. So if I see that they're kind of sitting there nodding along going, I'll then try and switch up and finish up with a question that they can answer and that can allow them to shift the conversation into another direction. And then, you know, they take the time to start talking and I'm the one that becomes the listener. And maybe they'll notice that I'm sort of going, And then they'll do the same thing in reverse. And that's kind of the nature of a conversation is you're passing the torch back and forth to one another. And then once you've got the torch, you make your point, and then you pass the torch on to the next person, they make their little point, and then you pass the torch on, and that person makes their point, and so on and so forth. And that's just the nature of conversation. And anxiety is just a worry that you're not doing that properly. And, you know, we all have our own little, like, idiosyncrasies, right? The little things that make us, right? And sometimes you will be, like, you will meet a person, and you'll have an instant negative opinion of them. And maybe they'll go off and they'll notice that maybe you looked like you had a negative opinion on them and they'll stay up late at night. And maybe you worrying about your little facial reactions there will make you stay up at night by proxy. But that's just you worrying about what you think that person might be worrying about, whereas that person might not have been thinking about that in the slightest. It's generally like the most simple, say if you text someone, right, and they see your message, it's seen, right, but they don't respond to it. It's like, and it goes on for a few hours, and you might sort of think, oh God, what did I say wrong? Did I fuck something up there? And then maybe a day goes past, and you're like, fucking hell, I really fucked that. Oh no. But, you know, they were probably just busy, or they probably, like, they haven't thought about it. They're not actively going around thinking, oh, that person that texted me is such an arsehole, they're such a twat. And if they were thinking that, right, then they're not someone that you want to be around. And if they told that to you, then all they've done is they've let you go, and they've set you free. And that's a good thing. It's good to recognize who you are, what works well for you, what kind of people work for you, and what kind of people don't work for you. Because some people you're just naturally incompatible with, and some people you're just naturally compatible with. Like, all of my friends all fall within the same sort of thing. Like, they've all got so many differences around them, but they're all semi-similar in a way that they can connect with me and I can connect with them. And I would never like become friends with someone who, like, or more than acquaintances with someone where I can't have that, where I feel like I'm on edge the entire time. They're all people that make me feel like I can be myself. And that's what you want in friends. And you want to be able to just be yourself and not worry about what others think of you. And if you are sat there worrying about what they think of you, then try and like reduce your time around that person because they're not helping you to develop and become the full person that you want to be. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the core message of the video, is just don't worry so much about the little anxieties in your brain, because if they were to be actualized, then the action that you should take amongst that is to push that person away from you because they're not helping you. Or if you were completely in the wrong, then it allows you to see a reflection of yourself in the mirror and go, right, I do have some things I need to work on here. Maybe I am a bit boring. How can I work on becoming less boring? Maybe I go on too long. Maybe I ramble too much about certain things and I go on little tangents that don't quite matter to the story I'm actually telling. You know, that kind of thing. And that can allow you to sort of improve yourself. So no matter what happens from these anxieties that cause you so much discomfort, can come either self-improvement, or you can get rid of someone that has been kind of causing you to feel a bit shit anyway. So you, either way, you will feel better as a result of seeing the consequences of your anxieties. So your anxieties are there for a reason. And again, I am not referring to anxiety disorder with this, because that's a whole other conversation. I don't think I have anxiety disorder, so I wouldn't want to comment on that in particular. I'm just saying anxiety as a general word to indicate, like, you know, when you overthink something that you thought was embarrassing that you did in the past, you're like, oh God, I was such a twat at that point. Fucking hell, how could I have been such a twat? You know, the stuff that keeps you up late at night wondering whether you did the right thing or the wrong thing. And you know, whether you did the right or the wrong thing, all that matters is that you can learn from this experience, whether it's either you did the right thing and you can do more of that in the future, or you did the wrong thing and you can do less of that in the future. So that's just it. Just figure out what you need to do more of and what you need to do less of. So please leave your comments below about what you think of this topic. What's a moment that you thought was really embarrassing to yourself? Where you thought that you really fucked off someone, right? And just made them really annoyed at you. And like, it sort of stayed with you and kept you up late at night. How did you deal with that? What did you do to kind of make yourself feel better? And did that work? Did whatever action that you took to avoid that kind of thing happening in the future, did that play out? Or did you end up repeating the same mistake? And if you did it happen in a different way? Did the mistake get repeated in a different way? Because even though you repeat the same mistake, it's obviously not literally the same mistake. It's just the same kind of situation. And, you know, it's the same way, like, you play a video game, right? And you're trying to beat the boss of the level, right? You might have to fight it a few times to figure out its patterns, to figure out like the maneuvers that the boss sort of takes, and then you can figure out those patterns and then, you know, do a little barrel roll and then swoosh like that. I'm thinking Dark Souls in particular, but any video game really. It's just a metaphor, isn't it? So yeah, hope you have a good rest of the day. If you've just recently felt embarrassed by something that you've done, let us know what that was, because, you know, we're all open here. It's a safe little space, this, where we can, you know, be free to discuss our problems and the things that we do wrong. Like, I'm certainly not a perfect fucking specimen, and neither are you, and we shouldn't expect ourselves to be, and we shouldn't try and project this image of perfection, because none of us are perfect, and if we were, it would be a boring fucking world, wouldn't it? Because then everyone would just go around doing the right thing all the time. So, yeah, that's about it from me. Hope you have a good rest of the day. Love you all, and take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence, and today I want to talk to you a little bit about making your own music and about listening to your own music, and particularly answering the question, is it egotistical to listen to your own music for the sake of enjoyment? Now, I feel like instinctively the answer is yes. For instance, if you went to a house party, you wouldn't just put on your own music, you know, and then expect them to just sit there and listen to you playing all the instruments and singing the words that you wrote. That would feel a bit weird. Everyone would be sort of feeling a little bit awkward, like, what do I say to him? Do I say, like, oh yeah, that was good, man, that was good, cheers, aye. Or I don't know. So in that sense, yes, don't do something like that. However, is it egotistical to embrace the music that you're making and love it for what it is and love the fact that you're doing it and your growth and your development and what you're learning from each song? No, I don't think that is egotistical. I don't think that's a bad thing to do. I don't think that's a problem. What I do feel like is when you're making music, it's because you're making something that's so suited to your senses and your own taste, because it will probably be an amalgamation of the various influences that you have, which are very unique to you. The same way that my influences are unique to me, and their influences are unique to them. Every single person that's walking around in the background, they're going to go home and they're going to listen to a different, 100 different bands. That one might listen to grime. That lady over there, she might listen to some 60s soul. That guy, that woman over there, she might listen to some, like, I don't know, Aerosmith or something. I don't know. But all of them will find different things, different, like musicians and styles I've never even heard of. That pigeon just looked at me weird. And every single one of these sort of things will, you know, shape who they are. The things that they surround themselves with will help shape the person that they actually are. And if they're making music, I presume at least one person who's passed the background in this shot has made a song or made an album or something like that. And every single one of them will be a bit different to all the others. If you ever go on the r/WeAreTheMusicMakers, right? It's a subreddit for people making music. They've got a weekly mega thread for critiquing people's songs. Basically, the way it works is you critique three people's songs, and then you can post one of your own songs for other people to critique. So what you do, you listen to a few different ones, and you might hear a pop punk sort of one, then you might hear an indie sort of thing, then you might hear a bit of country, you might listen to a bit of rap or a bit of EDM or a bit of pop, and they all are so unique to the person that's making them, and they all use different, you know, DAWs, they all record in different ways, they all use different instruments, they all have a different process for actually making the thing to begin with, and it all works a little bit differently regarding, you know, who it is that's making it and what the style is and how it's all going to come together. So it all kind of works in quite an interesting way in that regard. And I feel like all of them are probably sitting back and putting it on the headphones and just sort of monging out and just sort of thinking, like sinking into their own musical ability. Because as you grow and develop, your musical development is going to increase and you're going to get better at making stuff. You're going to get better at making songs in general. You'll get better at understanding melody and harmony and all that sort of stuff. You'll be able to make more interesting song structures. You'll be able to combine various influences in new ways. You'll be able to, you know, experiment in styles you weren't able to experiment in before. Say you start making music by like just making sort of ambient kind of tracks in Audacity like I did. At that point, you're not ready to make a funk song, but give it a bit of time, keep trying, keep developing, keep growing and carving out space for yourself. You might be able to get to a point where you can make a funk song. Then you make one and then you might think, okay, what do I want to do next? Maybe I want to make some really weird prog rock thing that's in like a million different time signatures. All right, now you got to that point. What's the next goal? What's the next challenge? Maybe it's to strip it all back and to make an accessible pop song. All right, let's say you do that. What's the next challenge? Sorry about the beeping. What's the next challenge? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I want to make an entire album. Okay, now I've made an entire album. Now I want to make a concept album. Okay, now I've made a concept album. So you keep setting yourself little challenges. You get and overcome that challenge, and then you move on and you take the lessons that you learned from that and apply them to the next challenge that you set for yourself. And you keep going and going and going in that kind of way. And as you do that, you will find that you will get better and better and better, and you will have more fun listening to your own music, because it will go from listening to it and understanding that you're still learning and developing. You'll get to a certain point where you stop listening to your own music as if it's your music and start listening to it. You all right?
Yeah, this is a service area.
Oh, is this private land?
Yes, it is private land, and apart from that, we have high HV.
Yeah.
Vehicles moving, so
okay.
You don't mind?
Yeah, yeah. Can I just go down that way then?
Yeah, if you go across, yes.
Yeah. Where's the public bit? Is it just sort of past?
Outside there. Outside.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. Right. You have a good one, yeah? All right, so we're just going to kind of move, I suppose. Let's move to the next spot. So, yeah, let me just arrange everything. And we will, oh, this is the first time this has happened, actually. I'm surprised I've managed to do 120 of these videos and it's taken this long for me to get kicked out of anywhere. I'm quite impressed with that, actually. I'm just putting on my my coats, and then we will rock and roll out of here. All right. Very much I'll be out your hair, yeah?
Why are you recording?
I've just been recording these little videos of me just going around and just talking. I've just, like, motivational kind of things.
Okay,
people
yeah.
really attach themselves to them.
It's so, a high-risk area.
Yeah.
Traffic.
No, I understand that. The only reason I chose that bit was because the bridge looked really neat in the background. So, yeah.
Okay.
Now, I do get it from your point of view,
yeah.
though. I've worked in security and I had to kick people out for, like, doing basically what I'm doing.
All right, then.
So, just on the other side of that barrier.
If you're across the road, that's fine.
Yeah?
Anything from the barriers there is, like, private property.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. You have a good day, yeah? All right, so just sort of show you around a little bit. This is kind of what we got around here. So if I get onto the other side of that little barrier there, I think I can set up a new thing and just carry on. So yeah, in regards to listening to your own music, and I feel like, because I do it fairly often, and sometimes I get myself a little bit down and I start to feel like I'm a bit of an egotist. But, and obviously if I try and force other people into that, then yeah, I will be an egotist. But if I'm not, and I'm just kind of getting on with it, I don't really see what the issue is. So I'm not getting in anyone's way, and I'm not making other people sit down and listen to my stuff other than for the sake of critique and all that. Sorry about all that. I want to see the audience retention drop at that point. But yeah, in regards to listening to your own music, I do feel like you can get caught up in your own head. And if you do Google, is it all right to listen to your own music, is it egotistic, you get a lot of other musicians saying, oh yeah, it's totally fine, I do it all the time. Yeah, we're musicians, we do that. But to a normal person, they see you listening to your music all the time as like a comfort sort of thing. And they'll probably think, oh, that is a bit egotistical. It's the same way, I don't know, it'd be like a estate agent looking at all the houses they've sold. Or, I don't know, a vape salesman looking at all the vapes they've sold. Or just more sales. I'm just going to keep doing salesman, really. But, you know, I do understand that it can be egotistical. So I do try and limit it, because it can be a bad habit, particularly because if you start to listen to too much of your own music, that's time that you're spending listening to your music that you could be spending listening to your influences and gaining new ground and gaining new things. And basically, yeah, if you can kind of go forward with regards to your music, doing that and making sure that you're, you know, using your time wisely, then that's all right. But I feel like a problem comes in when you start to allow the music to take hold and take precedent over finding new influences and finding new inspirations. Because you can't just keep doing the exact same thing, because if you're only listening to your own stuff, then you're only being influenced by yourself, which means that you're just in a little insular kind of net, and you're not actually seeing the wider world, which can extrapolate to, you know, someone that's a shut-in, staying in the house all the time and doesn't leave. You know, you need to get out of your house, you need to do stuff the same way, you need to find new forms of music and new things along the way, and you need to get better at making music, and by doing that, and to do that, you need to actually find new music to actually listen to. Sorry, I'm a little bit rattled, actually. Not as in, like, that annoyed me or upset me or anything, but it's just that it interrupted the flow, so now I'm just trying to get the flow back. And, yeah, sometimes you might listen to, because I bet if you've got music that you're listening to, there's the same few things that you listen to time and time and time and time again, right? That you're always listening to in terms of your songs. You've got a few songs that are your favourite ones you kind of keep going back to. And those update as time goes on and you make new stuff that overrides the old stuff that you think is better. Because you've probably got a few different core sounds that you're developing. So you might have one that's your high energy, you might have one that's your low energy, you might have one that's, say, I don't know, a bit more synthy than the others that you like, and that kind of thing. You might have a few reverses, you might have a few instrumentals, etc. And so as time goes on, you're trying to get yourself to a point where each of these songs, these core ideas that you have, are at a point where you're happy releasing them onto the world. And the way that you're going to do that is you're going to have to listen to it and decide, yeah, that's good enough to put out there. And to get to that point, you need to, one, take inspiration from the sort of people that are around you. Two, you need to develop your own skills and keep trying stuff. And three, you need to just keep carving out a space for yourself in this music scene, because there is space for everybody in a general sense, because there's 8 billion people in the world, right? So if every single one of those 8 billion people was a musician, there would be enough music to go around that everyone, you'd at least get one other listener, right? If we did things that way. I know that point didn't make very much sense, but what I'm saying is there is enough room for all of us out there to make it and to make different stuff and to have fun with it. That you can never have enough new sounds, because we've all got an individual voice that's unique to us. There's a combination of our influences, it's a combination of our taste, and no one can take that away from you. All you can do is turn that from something that's an idea into something that's real, physical, or digital. On the internet, it's actualized. You've actualized your dream. And if you can do that, then you're doing all right. And it's basically just about getting yourself to that point. And I feel like listening to your own music can become a bit of a crutch, where you might just start listening to your own stuff again and again. a little bit unaware of just how amateur you actually are in this moment. You start to get a bit of a big head about it because, again, you've only been listening to your own stuff. You're not listening to enough outside material. So you've insulated yourself, which means that you've got an idea about your skill that others don't share. You need to be realistic about your skill set and how you can take it further and how you can improve and what you can do with your current skill set and what kind of things would work for yourself at the moment. So yeah, I feel like that's pretty much going to be everything. So yeah, thank you very much. Have a good rest of the day. And yeah, just bye, I suppose. Put some comments in about what skill set you're at now. And do you listen to your own music? If you do, and I don't mean like more than you should, like if you ever feel like you're listening to it too much, let me know what you feel like in regards to that. Sorry about getting kicked out of that little area. They were really nice. By the way, that tends to be what happens if you're filming somewhere and you get kicked out. They just kind of come up to you nicely. And as long as you're pleasant back, like, what are you going to do? Start a fight? Oh, no, you can go past if you want. Yeah. Thank you for stopping, though. Like, not everyone does that. You have a good day, yeah? And yeah, and you see community, yeah? So, and take that and extrapolate that from the real world to the music scene on the internet and go find some weird forums and like-minded people. Try and do some collaboration and stuff. And I'm just rambling now, so I'm going to close the video out, so bye-bye. I really hope I'm visible in that.